Thank you. You're welcome. Okay. So wait, I gotta get this mic right. Hold on.
Hi, welcome back, everybody. And Bonnie, I just realized something. One of the reasons we're seeing a lot of fallout is I think we went over 40. And so it's not so much the bandwidth can't handle it because the T1 can, I think, can handle 100 users. It's just that there's so many people. You know how we always have somebody in the group that's got a shaky connection? Like if you got 10 people in the group, you might have one person that's got a shaky connection. Well, if you got 40, you might have 5 people that got a shaky connection. And so you're going to see a lot of them, you know. Yeah. So, I know, it's nothing you could do. If everybody had, you know, so even DSL today is garbage, you know. But most DSL is good. But every now and then, that's why we got rid of the DSL that we had here. It was just useless. In and out, in and out, in and out, falling out. So, okay, we're going to sing Sunshine in the Soul first, right? And then there shall be showers of blessing. Oh, everything with natural connotations on this. Okay.
Somebody sit here to... Why don't you don't have to sit here, okay? Okay. You can hear us, okay? Is there a buzz or something going on? I noticed that the thing is high up. Does it sound okay? Yes, it sounds okay. It's fine. Okay. The bars are way up or something.
All right. There's sunshine in my soul today. More glorious and bright than goes in any earthly skies. For Jesus is my light. Oh, there's sunshine, blessed sunshine. Where the peaceful, happy moment of tomorrow, where Jesus shows his smiling face, there is sunshine in my soul. There is music in my soul today, a carol to the King, and Jesus listening can hear. The songs I cannot sing. Oh, there's sunshine, blessed sunshine, when the peaceful, happy moments come. When Jesus shows his smiling face, there is sunshine in my soul. There's springtime in my soul today. For when the Lord is near, the dove of peace sings in my heart, the flowers of grace appear. Oh, there's sunshine, blessed sunshine, when the peaceful, happy moments roll, when Jesus shows his smiling face, there is sunshine in my soul. There's gladness in my soul today. And hope and praise and love. For blessings which he gives me now. For joys led up above. Oh, there's sunshine, blessed sunshine. When the peaceful,
happy moments roll, when Jesus shows his smiling
face,
there is sunshine in my soul. Okay, there should be showers of blessing. I think it's plural, but what else?
There shall be showers of blessing. This is the promise of love. There shall be seasons refreshing, sent from the Savior above. Showers of blessing we need. Mercy comes round us afar. falling, but for the showers we plead. There shall be showers of blessing, precious reviving again. Over the hills and the valleys, sound of abundance of rain. Showers of blessing, showers of blessings we need. Mercy drops from us are falling, but for the showers we plead. There shall be showers of blessing, send them upon us, O Lord. Grant to us now a refreshing, come and now utter your word. Showers of blessing, showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead. There shall be showers of blessing, oh, that today they might fall. Now as to God we're confessing, now as our Jesus we call. Showers of blessing, showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we
plead. God blessings, everyone. Our children's story today is called Deaf Yet Hearing. But first I'm going to read from Mark chapter 8, 13 to 21. And it says, "And he left them, and entering into the ship again, departed to the other side. Now the disciples had forgotten to take bread, neither had they in the ship with them more than one loaf. And he charged them, saying, Take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the leaven of Herod. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, It is because we have no bread. And when Jesus knew it, he saith unto them, Why reason ye, because ye have no bread? Perceive ye not yet, neither understand? Have ye your heart yet hardened? Having eyes, see ye not? And having ears, hear ye not? And do ye not remember? When I break the five loaves among 5,000, how many basketfuls of fragments took ye up? They say unto him, 12. And when the seven among 4,000, how many baskets full of fragments took ye up? And they said, 7. And he said unto them, How is it that ye do not understand? And here's our story. Carol could hardly wait for the children choir to sing. This was the first Sabbath they would sign the words as they sang. Carol watched the choir director, but she also looked out at Toby, a young deaf boy sitting in the front row. It was exciting to sing in a way that a deaf person could understand, too. Toby was watching attentively, and Carol felt warm inside. Later, when Pastor Glenn spoke, she again noticed Toby watching the interpreter. Later that afternoon, Carol's brother wanted her to help him with an experiment. Oh, I'm sick of your dumb experiments, she grumbled. They're silly and don't work, and most of them don't even make sense. But even though Carol refused to help, her brother kept pleading. Get away from me, Carol said crossly. Then she added some other mean comments. Mother looked at her sadly. I was just remembering that you told us how eagerly your friend Toby listened to God's message to him this morning, she said. Even though his ears didn't work, he still heard. But I'm not sure you heard the message. Carol scowled. I'm not deaf, she said. Of course I heard Pastor Glenn. Mom raised her brows. Well, Pastor Glenn spoke about how Christians needed to build each other up and be there for each other, she said. After the service, I saw Toby hug some people and help a woman in a wheelchair. I think his action showed that, even without physically hearing. He heard with his heart. judging from the way you've been speaking to your brother, I wonder if perhaps the message stopped in your ears. Carol blushed. She knew Mom was right. Hearing God's message with one's ears was not the most important thing. Responding with one's heart was. The end. How about you? When you hear Christian messages, do you just let the words go in one ear and out the other? Listen, understand, and respond with your heart. And memorize the verse, James 1:22. Be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only. Thank you for listening.
Shall we kneel before we open God's word? And Heavenly Father, we thank you for your truth and your word. We pray now as we open your word, you'll teach us your truth, help us to study to show ourselves approved unto God, being workmen who need not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. For it is given to us for correction, reproof, and instruction in righteousness, that we may be perfect in thee. Through Jesus, we thank you for these blessings. In his name, amen. So, brethren, as I come back from Mexico, and even before that, we have found that as I listen to the news, because I think it's good to keep up on what's going on some. A lot of news I don't like to hear. Once in a while, I do have a good story. And so as I listen to the news, been noticing a lot, especially since I've been back the last several weeks, that a lot of problems are happening. You know, we've been having a hurricane going on while I've been gone, and since I come back, we find that companies that were highly rated and will stand through eternity are falling. We find the stock market bouncing all over the place. Many investments are people's faith in the United States on its being the last great nation of this world's history is failing them. Oh, fear is abounding. You go on websites, you listen to the financial news, the sky is falling for many people. They have no hope. They have no faith. They live in a spirit of fear. So how do we look at it, brethren? And so I believe that God has given us some words for us to live by as his people, as his professed people. We should rejoice in these things. Is a time at hand? Is Christ coming soon, as we've been teaching for a number of years? Even when I was a child in the Seventh-day Adventist Church, Jesus is coming soon. But as I find that many of us have heard it most of our lives, if not all our lives, some of us have only heard it for a few years, but yet it doesn't happen. People are setting time. There's an independent Seventh-day Adventist ministry that says this National Sunday Law is going to start this month. I forget which date. Oh, brethren, they're preaching the spirit of fear. That's what it is. That's all it is, a spirit of fear. But what does God say? Because that's where we need to go to God's word, to see what we do with all this fear that's going on around the world. And one text that, first one that came to my mind in preparing for this sermon today is Isaiah 41, verse 10. Isaiah 41, verse 10 says, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." What does it say? Fear thou not, for I am with thee. God is with us. Does he know what's going on, or is he up there just doing his thing and we're doing our thing here? No, God's with us. He says he is, but do we trust him? Well, we try to trust man, and sometimes we can trust them, and sometimes they let us down. Most of the time they let us down. But when we build our relationship with God, our Father, Jesus, our Lord and Savior, our relationship with the Holy Spirit, our relationship with the holy angels, we base it on our relationship to God, or our relationship to man. So we relate to God the way we relate to man, our spouse, our children, our friends, our brethren. Unfortunately, we don't always edify and strengthen each other. We let each other down. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Isaiah 41:10. Before that, as we read in Isaiah chapter 39, starting with verse 28 through 31, it says, hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary, neither there is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young man shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk. And not, these are promises that we can hang on to. These are promises that are given for us. If we look back at the first part of the Bible in the book of Joshua, chapter 1, God had called Moses to lead the people out of Egypt. And before going into the promised land, after wandering all the 40 years, we come to the time where God says, Moses, you will not go into the promised land. You will die. So God chose Joshua to take his place. And when they were first going to go into the promised land, that, okay, with God's help, we can do this. Let's go. As part of the two spies that were true and faithful to what God had called them to do. But the 10 talked the people out. In fact, Spirit of Prophecy says in several places that if 10 had given a good report and 2 had given a we cannot go report, that the children of Israel would have been discouraged and they would have not gone forward under God's leading. And so Joshua, through these 40 years, were still faithful, and God called him to lead the children into the promised land. But with Joshua, even though he stood for the truth, as they went forward, and through back in the times of the 12 spies, but yeah, when God called him, he said, I can do it. I can do it. I know, Joshua says, Lord, not me. You know, I'm not capable. I don't know how. Just like Moses when he was called. So, but God says in Joshua 1:9, says, have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. The Lord, when he calls us to do something, he will sustain us. When he calls us to be a husband, he sustains us. When he calls us to be a dad, He sustains us. When He calls us to be a minister, He sustains us. Oh, I could go for a long time on when the Lord called me into the ministry, how, no, thank you, Lord, anyone else would be fine. But praise the Lord, He and I have worked it out, and we go forward together. Through David, God tells us in Psalms 56, verse 3, what time I am afraid, I will trust in Thee. David had his times of being afraid when Saul was chasing him. Been reading in the book of Samuel, 1 Samuel, and now I'm in 2 Samuel for my morning worship. After me, and he fled for his life. And then in Psalms 56, verse 4, in God I will praise His word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. And, all right, brethren, this is what I don't have any way of turning on my mic anymore. It's as high as it can go. All right, for those who are having troubles, try to sit a little closer here. And then on in verse 11 of Psalm 56, in God I have put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me. David, in his times of trials and his time of he had to learn to trust in God. Also, in Psalms 91, which is a Psalms of what we can look forward to as far as what's coming to God's people. A lot of people have memorized Psalms 91, and they think it's a good. But for those of us who aren't as good as memorizing, we can read it over and over and to understand what it's talking about. And we can even though we don't know it word for word, we can know what it's saying in the thoughts. And in Psalms 91, verse 5 and 6, it says, Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. All these things coming along upon us? Yes, it will. But shall we be afraid because of it? Shall we be afraid because of all these trials that are happening here with the economy? All this political upheaval around the world, even here in the United States, should that cause us fear? As we read through Matthew 24, as we read through Luke 21, Mark 13, as we read through Revelation 13, does that bring us fear? Or does it bring us comfort? Does it bring us to a relation, building a relationship to God and Jesus Christ? For if we are not building that relationship through these trials, as Brother Nick was talking about a little bit ago, through these joys that we have, if it's causing us to tremble, to fear, then we need to ask God to help us in these times of fear. In Psalms 112, verse 7, it says, He shall not be afraid of evil doings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. Are we trusting in the Lord? Are we fretting with fear? Are we worrying because of our fear? Sometimes it sounds like someone could say, well, you know, Brother Gary doesn't have any fear. He doesn't have any worries. He's learned to trust in God. Brother and sisters, I was the king of worry, the king of fear. If anybody had any fear, it was me. If I had any worry, it was me. But God has brought me through a number of experiences. Some I will share here in our Mexico trip our last Mexico trip last year, many trips that the Lord has sent me on. I can turn around, tuck my tail between my legs and run home. But God has taken me through these things, and all I can do is say, praise the Lord. What can we learn through these times of fear, times of rumors of war, like Matthew 24, verse 6. You shall hear rumors of wars. He shall be not troubled, for these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. There's turmoils going around worldwide. Africa, the continent of Africa is full of wars, rumors of wars. Mexico, for the last 20 years have been on just sitting on a powder keg, just waiting for the revolution to just the whole country. Southern Mexico, over a number of different reasons, the changing of the dollar relationship to the economy, all these things going on. But is this part of prophecy? Is it part of the end time? Are we ready? Is God's people ready for the end time? Job thought about these things as he is going through his experience. 25, it says, "For this thing which I greatly feared has come upon me, and that which I was afraid has come unto me." Brothers and sisters, some of these fears that we have will come upon us. Why? Because we dwell upon the fear instead of the promises of God. Where's your mind? Is this mind of Christ in you, as Philippians 2 says? Is the mind of Christ in you, or the mind of fear in you? The mind of worry in you? Is it a struggle for those of us who are original characters, have that problem? Yes, it is. The daily battle. It's like overcoming sin, the daily battle. Paul says, I die daily. Why? Paul, a pillar in the promotion and the teaching of Jesus Christ and his sacrifice for us and eternal life. Why did he need to die daily? Because of his character was as such where he knew that he needed to keep that relationship with him. Peter felt he was strong in the Lord. Lord, I'll die with you. So what happened at the Garden of Gethsemane? Peter ran. He denied his Savior 3 times. God lets us go through some of these things where God lets us go through some of these things to test our character, because sometimes we really don't know the character we have. And God says, I want you to, his people, to have the character of Christ, reflecting the character of Christ. So it's not us that's uplifted, but it's Christ uplifted. John 14, verse 27, a promise that God has given to us. John 14, 27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You can also think of the first 3 verses of John 14. Let not your heart be troubled, ye believe in me, God, believe also in me, and it continues. Brothers and sisters, all through the Bible, God has given us special promises, special blessings that we can hang on to. But we keep letting them go. Why? Because we keep hearing the spirit of fear that's being preached to us daily. Sometimes even of our brethren, we're preaching the spirit of fear. Sometimes on this website, I hear fear in the messages, not in the messages being preached, but in the comments of being typed. Brothers and sisters, there's independent Seventh-day Adventist ministries out there that live on preaching fear. The sky is falling. This is going to happen. You know, run for the hills. Yes, brethren, we need to be in the country. Look at the mountains, the fleet of the mountains is a time that God calls us, but let no man put the spirit of fear in you, because God has not. He's given us a peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, God says. For in the time of trouble, in the time of fear, Spirit of Prophecy says, and the Bible says, that we don't understand the things that are coming before us, what we will go through.
Yes.
But with going through these things, we need to have a faith, a trust in God that will not fail. And God's people will have that faith. They will have that trust. They will not fear what man can do unto me. Why? Because they have spent time with God. They have built that relationship with God, with Jesus Christ. Though he slay me, yea, will I trust him, Job says. How can Job say that and experience it? We can say it now, but is it really part of our character? I pray it is. But Matthew 10:28 says, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both body and soul in hell." Do we fear God? Do we respect him? Do we love him? Do we trust him? All these trials, all these blessings we go through, is it building our relationship with God? For Proverbs 10:24 tells us to fear the wicked, it shall come upon him. Proverbs 24:19 says, "Fret not thyself because of evil men, neither be envious of the wicked." Ezekiel 11:8, God tells us, "Ye fear the sword, I will bring the sword upon you, saith the Lord God." Some of our fears will be realized because we live in a spirit of fear rather than power and love and a sound mind. Let's turn to 2 Timothy 1:7. 2 Timothy 1:7. It's a text that comes to my mind so often. 2 Timothy 1:7. The short verse, you can memorize it. We can live it. "For God had not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." As we talk to each other, as we preach our sermons here on the internet, and as we travel, as we talk to one of each other, as we email each other, as we type in the text chats, are we going to give us a spirit of fear? Or is, yes, these things are happening. Yes, these events of the world are happening. As we read God's word, the last days will be tremendous for God's people, worse for the wicked. Yes, these things are going to happen because they're prophesied. God said it will, and they will. But brethren, are we going to have a spirit of fear about it? Or are we going to have a spirit of power and love and a sound mind? Let this mind be in you, which is in Christ Jesus. We can decide. We can give our heart and our mind to Christ. We can give ourselves to Christ and say, "Lord, but thy will for my life. You want me to go through this trial? Help me bear it. Help me not complain. Help me to be content. Help me to know what you want me to learn in this trial. Help me to know what you want me to do in this trial. Help me to trust in you. Help me to trust in you no matter what. That we may not have a spirit of fear, but power and love and a sound mind. May our eyes be open to see. May our ears be open to hear God's word. Be trusting God's word. Lord, what do you want me to learn in this? What do you want me to do in this situation? Is God up there just sitting there waiting patiently for us? Or is he involved with us? Are the holy angels really here taking care of us, watching over us, guiding us? Are the angels of God encamped around to those who love him? Did God take care of those in the Old Testament, but not now? It's not a God that I know. I pray, brothers and sisters, that we will not have a spirit of fear. It's not a spirit of God, but of trusting in God. Lord, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to say? What do you want me to experience? Yes, the angels of God encamp around those that fear him and love him. Well, Paul says in 2 Corinthians, I believe chapter 5 and chapter 7, all of what he went through. But did it discourage him? No, he kept going in the way of the Lord, in the fear of the Lord. Paul learned some lessons through these things. He put them there that we can learn and have be encouraged. These things are not for our discouragement, for our encouragement. Thank you, brother, under shepherd. Yes, for we walk by faith and not by sight. 2 Corinthians 5:7. That's the bottom line. Do we walk by faith? Lord, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to learn? I pray that it'll be to God's name, honor, and glory as we go forward, encouraging and edifying each other. As we hear the news, as we read the different things on the website, the Lord can give us eyes that see and ears that hear what our participation in this end of events as Jesus is coming soon. Shall we kneel for prayer? Thank you for trust. Thank you for faith. Thank you for Jesus who provided all these things for us. I pray that we will have faith and not fear. I pray that we will trust you and not fear what's going on in this old world, because that's where we live, and this is the time in which we live, which is a wonderful time. May we share our faith. May we encourage and strengthen each other, our families, our brethren, those in which we come in contact. May Jesus be lifted up in all this, and I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, brother. Thank you. What are we going to sing? We had a song picked, but I think we sang it early. We sang it last week or something. You got a new one? When the roll is top. Oh, I don't know. Mansion over the Hilltop? Okay. All right, we're going to sing Mansion Over the Hilltop.
Just a casino, a little silver and a little gold. But in that city, where the rest will shine, I want a gold one, that silver line. I got a mansion just over the hills. in that bright land where we'll never grow old. And some may wonder, we'll never wonder, but walk the streets that are pure as gold. Though often tempted, tormented and tested, and like the prophet, my pillow a stone. And though I find here no permanent dwelling, I know he'll give me a mansion of my own. I've got a mansion just built for the hilltop in that bright land where we'll never grow old. And someday yonder we'll never more wander, but walk the streets that are pure as gold. Don't think me poor or deserted or lonely. I'm not discouraged, I'm heaven bound. I'm just a pilgrim in search of a city. I want a mansion, a heart and a crown. I've got a mansion just over the hilltop in that red land where we'll never grow old. And someday yonder we'll never more wander, but walk the streets that are pure as gold.
Close in prayer, and that Brother Gary's going to share with us some things that the Lord blessed him with in Mexico, and then we'll have some questions and answers, and I think we may even be discussing the school. So, you can kneel, please. Heavenly Father, we thank you, we praise you, we worship you, we trust you, we love you. Again, we thank you for your presence, as you promised, you would be among us whenever two or more again. So thank you for being here with us. And in each and every family that has joined us, thank you for being in their presence as well. Thank you for the message that Brother Gary was asked to share by you. Thank you for letting it cut deep into the hearts of those that need it. His fear is being preached on every level now. It's on the pulpits and on the podiums and the lecterns. I mean, just every politician and every pastor seems to be preaching this stuff now. And so thank you for giving us the strength to stand firm. Thank you for showing us that, again, the elect can't be deceived, not even with this stuff. And so thank you, Father, for blessing us, giving us strength, blessing us with the rest of this Sabbath day, giving us a good week ahead of us, giving us opportunities to share our faith with those that we work with or play with or live with, or just happen to run across. Thank you for blessing the ministry, the church, everybody involved in the church around the world, and to all the ministries that are helping us do this, as well as all those people that you're sending, Father. We never ask them, we only ask you, and so thank you for sending them and blessing them the way you promised, and all those on our prayers that are in need. In Jesus' name, amen.
Pray our signals a little better for those of you who are having problems, and Lord can bless this message, because when the Lord called me in this ministry years ago, my wife is originally from Mexico, and my wife and I have, through the 1990s, she has a sister that lives down there,